This is David Schickler. I'm the co-creator of Banshee and the writer of this episode.
And I'm Dean White. I directed the episode.
And here we see Mr. Rabbit, and he's, as he says, finally ready to go. His chance to get Lucas after 15 years, and he's been wanting to. Of course, he doesn't just want Lucas. He wants his daughter back.
I love that this worked out well with a straight razor here and the footage that was previously shot with the razor where Lucas gets stabbed in prison.
Yeah.
It's a nice callback.
I've actually seeing like a straight razor or a character getting their throat slit, like despite all the unbelievable carnage that we create on this show, that's one of the things that gets me, man.
I can watch
people being ripped to shreds by dogs, but put a straight razor into someone's throat and ouch.
I remember the day I shot this. Literally, I landed on, I think, a Sunday at 10 o'clock at night, showed up Monday morning, Greg was shooting, and I was supposed to shoot that stuff at the end of the day, and a piece of equipment went down, and Greg's like, you're up.
Right.
And so literally, I stepped onto the set and started shooting. It was crazy.
Right off the plane.
Right off the plane.
No wasting time in Banshee.
As Greg used to say, it's the Banshee way. Really cool title sequence. I hadn't seen it until the episode aired.
Oh, we like this scene. We get to see a great actor, Steve Coulter, who plays one of our local Amish, Rebecca Bowman's father. In this creep show, Burton, Kai Proctor's second. Had a lot of fun creating this character of Kai Proctor, you know, a formerly devoutly Amish guy who's now the Tony Soprano of the town of Banshee. He hasn't talked to this man who's come to see him, and they haven't spoken in 25 years.
And I'm a huge fan of Ulrich's. I'd seen a lot of his work before I got down there to do this, so, and he was fantastic.
Mr. Proctor.
This was actually a scene we talked at. I remember talking like, do we need this scene in the episode? Should we cut this? You know, is there a callback to it later? And ultimately, you know, you and Greg pushed for it, and I'm really glad that it stayed in.
That's right. It kind of stands alone from some of the rest of the episode, but I've been surprised by people are really taking, the Amish are blowing up all over the USA, man. People like the Amish.
I love the scene. I think it's a fantastic scene. I just, like you said, I know it tees some things up that will be coming down the line.
Yeah.
Last time you spoke to me? It's a creepy location.
What, the slaughterhouse?
The slaughterhouse, which is really just a big empty warehouse. The production design did a really nice job with it.
They did indeed. That meat looks bloody. My wife said last week when she was watching this particular episode that she'll never eat meat again.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the hanging meat obviously is all fake because that would cost a lot of money to have real hanging sides of beef there.
Yeah, there's some of our fake meat right there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have caught me if they didn't think... She is my daughter, and I love her, but she is getting lost.
What happened? There's our man Ulrich looking great in close-up. We wanted to keep him wearing a lot of black and white, even though he's not Amish anymore. Now, Dean, if you remember this bathroom that they're in, I believe they started building it at about 10 a.m., and it was through the magic of Hollywood, completely built by what, 6 p.m., 5 p.m.?
I kept walking over there going, okay, you guys are going to be finished with this in time, right? Right? And I think at one point leaned against the wall and ended up with paint all over my sweatshirt.
That's right. Yeah. The shower worked.
That's right, because Janie's taking a shower, yeah?
Yeah, it was a working shower.
And they were carrots, not yams.
Those are the kind of things, like, you get in a small space and you're not sure, you know, exactly how you're going to shoot it, especially when the set's still being built and you've only looked at blueprints, but...
Here's your wonderful shot that you came up with in the mirror.
Yeah, I shot a lot, the whole thing actually in the mirror. And then I did a couple of pieces of coverage, which I think ended up in the final cut. But the whole beginning of this is just one shot. I tried to edit it with the A camera in the mirror. And Matt, who's a terrific camera operator, hit every moment of this. So Janie drops out of screen. He's holding just enough of her, you know, so you get a sense that she's there. He looks. And then it kept going. I loved it as a oneer.
Right.
Distracted for the last year, Dan.
Oh, well, there's a lot going on at work.
But what about what's going on here? Or not going on, actually?
Well, I'm just a little bit stressed out.
These are always fun scenes when anytime Job and Sugar and Lucas, the three of them, are together, get the sort of darkly magic camaraderie of these three criminals working together.
Four casino guards, two drivers.
Janie Kendall's about to have a very bad day.
I studied the photos and the schematics, and it's like I said, we ain't getting into that truck once it's closed.
Well, we can't take them in that loading bay, if that's what you're thinking.
Another great actor, Hoon. So much fun.
When Hoon auditioned for the part of Job, he was the first person we saw for the first part. And they told us, you're the creators, you're gonna see all sorts of people audition. We're like, no, that's him. And they showed us like another 100 people. We're like, no, it was the first guy.
It was, yeah.
And it was him, he was the right guy.
This is a great little trifecta, these three guys together.
Sugar, Job, and Lucas.
Yeah.
Friend in the truck. Lord, I was afraid you're gonna say that.
Good.
I have a few morally upstanding friends of mine, people I went to church with when I was young, and they all seem to really get off on the criminal aspect of this show more than I thought they would when I was visiting with my hometown. They like these three bad guys.
Yeah, and that's the great balance, is all the kind of really rich character stuff against all of kind of criminal story plot.
Spectacular. After 15 years, she just suddenly found someone.
That's what she said, Joe.
There is no fence, man.
Yeah, trying to really mix character-driven narrative with stuff going bang.
Yeah.
With the sex and violence, that sort of.
And you know here where, you know, he's walking into a trap. He knows he's walking into a trap. I'm convinced of it.
There is pussy whipped, and then there's that hopeless motherfucker. Oh, for fuck's sake.
This was one very, very hot day, as I recall.
Didn't we have 9,500 degrees?
Oh, it was
all the way through.
It was brutal, and we were in that parking structure, which was just like a microwave oven.
A lot of fun casting these two and wanting to see the other women we had audition for her part. Couldn't even sort of stand in the same room with him because he's just so magnetic and forceful. And she went toe-to-toe with him. And this is one of the first time we get to see they're about to go on an adventure together.
You trust him?
I trusted him. You wouldn't be coming along.
God, you're always better at this than me.
I remember, too, that we were losing the light really badly.
Yeah.
And had to move this car kind of back and light everything through the front windshield. It timed out really well, balanced.
Yeah, and I like the disorientation that we see of Lucas and how he shot it.
Okay, well,
so, here we go.
Yeah, this is a really interesting. You know, I remember going and scouting this location. I ended up meeting Greg Utanas, who is the
showrunner,
EP,
our excellent showrunner and EP,
also great director, and. You know, I had a bunch of different ideas about how to do this, and we started talking about Children of Men.
Right.
And how a lot of that movie looks like long oners, and what they really are pieces of the scene, pieces stitched together. So it feels like one shot. It's really 4, 5, 6, 7 pieces.
And you did it seamlessly and really made it look like a oner.
Yeah, it hasn't started yet.
And yeah, it's coming up.
It's coming up. And
remember what we went through with this mask? We had a little bit of trouble.
It all ended up working out. I mean, the key to this really was finding the right camera, which was small enough so that Matt, the A camera operator, could run and pick it up and push it over the counter and hand it through the car windshield. And I think I finally, I think this was four pieces. I had it to six pieces and then it ended up being four pieces. And this is the beginning. So right here until Emmett goes into the parking garage, it's four pieces that look like one.
Shots fired and a civilian down in the drugstore.
I'll see if I can remember where the stitches came.
I was just gonna say, if you can break it down for us, Jigsaw.
This is all one, and that's the first stitch. So that whip,
there you go,
put us into the second shot. This is all one shot. And we were going to go in through the front windshield. We ended up coming around. That's the second stitch right there.
That's right.
It's a highly charged situation.
And what do you call this?
Killing a cop has ramifications.
Okay, here comes the visual effect of the car. That car's not really there. Now there's the third stitch. Now, when Emmett runs up and looks through the car windshield, as he goes over the hood of the car, the camera gets passed through the car to another operator who takes the camera and runs after Emmett. And there, that's it.
That's it. That's four.
And then this wasn't even, I don't even think this was scripted, but.
And we added Siobhan to put a little more pressure on these guys as they're running away.
And she was there, and we shot that, and her going up to the locked doors, I think, was something we kind of just on the fly added.
And I remember with staging, we had to be very careful. Demetrius Gross, who plays Emmett, is so fast. if he's really running, he can cover the length of that football field in about two, like from where he is to them in about 2 seconds. And we had to adjust.
I just love this where she's looking, and then, oh my God.
And they're just on her, the actress Claire Bronson playing Janie Kendall.
Do you have any idea what kind of shit show you just started?
This entire episode was very, all of Banshee is, but it was very physical for all of the actors. I mean, Anthony and Yvonne are always dealing with physical stunts, but, you know, Demetrius really had a lot to do in this episode. Claire was being thrown around a lot. And, you know, and the two guest stars, Kevin and Doug, who play the bad guys here, were running and getting slammed and shot. What
the fuck is this?
It's detention.
Get out here now. Get out from there.
It was Dean's idea to have all these kids sitting in various different areas of the gym instead of sitting in one little bleacher area together. So we get to see them coalescing, coming together, and of course, the reveal that Deva's in detention.
Well, this is new.
I must have gotten the dosage wrong.
I believe we looked at a lot of different kinds of handcuffs to get just the get him locked up just right since that.
And then he's got to get out of it, so the bed frame has to be something that can be broken. And then I also remember coming up with that little MacGyver thing where he reaches over this foot and finds a pen. That was just something we kind of came up with on the day.
That's right.
Where I wanted to create this moment where you're convinced he's going to MacGyver himself out of it, and then the pen slips.
James Bond, that's right.
And you're not going to tell him.
I'm going to sing my fucking lungs out.
Goodbye.
Hey.
Anthony did this all where he opens his mouth for her to put the thing in. It's great.
Not scripted.
Yeah.
In the script, he fought her more.
Really great.
He's more willing here. And he says his line, "I'll catch up to you," which is exactly what he said 15 years ago, right before he went to jail.
And these were little pieces we stole. We were shooting in the gym, and we would break a camera off and have, again, we had the actress with us.
Trieste.
And she, it was like a nice little piece. And you feel like they really are kind of fish caught in the bowl here.
You were 1983 state champs.
In the 83, you remember why we did that? That was the year I graduated from high school.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Dating myself. Game future horse.
20 points. I always try to come up with, when I came up with the name Future Horse, I try to come up with names of bands that would look good somewhere down in Greenwich Village. If I was walking by and I saw a band and if it said Future Horse, I'd go in. So that's why I came up with that one. It's fun to name bands. That'll help us.
Fuck! All the doors are padlocked shut. There's no other fucking way out of here.
Lance, can we focus? Get off my dick.
We gotta get the fuck out of here.
And that's nice too. You don't know exactly what that is yet until she looks down into her hand. You realize it's her phone.
That's right.
What are you filming us?
Feisty, huh?
Leave her alone. They're just kids.
But you're not, are you?
You called Hood, right?
Hood's off today. He's out of town on personal business.
Brock, he's the sheriff.
All right, fine. Alma, get me the sheriff.
This is interesting, too, because this is a big moment for him to kind of be in charge.
Yeah, he wanted to be sheriff long before Lucas Hood ever arrived in town. And he's bitter, and you can even just see in his eyes he's enjoying this a little bit.
Get over your fucking phones.
All right, give me your phones. Let's go. Give me your phone!
Siobhan, do another perimeter check, all right? Check every window.
And the reference right here, some of this got cut, but the reference right here, he says, she all right.
A reference to episode 5.
Right, when her house was burned down, right?
By the Kindred, by the motorcycle gang. So she's still shaking that off.
And here comes the news vans. That was the other challenge with this, too. I mean, you got to remember, Banshee has, what, like 3 police cars in the entire town. So we had this parking lot, and we had to
make it feel full and
create tension. And so, you know, bringing in the news vans and the fire engine and the rescue squads and putting people up on the hill and building that scene by scene by scene, I thought it worked great.
Hey, how we doing?
They got fucking TV cameras set up.
See,
out
you,
here.
Now you feel a little bit more of it. You're starting to feel the crowd there off to the left.
Building little by little. This was the audition scene that she's about to do. This is the audition scene for this part and for a couple other different parts of female characters in this episode under duress.
You're on this, huh?
There's our FBI man.
I was the closest man. I'm working a scrambling SWAT team from Philly. Where's Hood?
He's out of town on personal business. Trying to reach him.
This location ended up being a great place for us to shoot.
With the football stadium right behind it.
Yeah, everything laid out. It's rare that you find it where it all lays out as well as it did. It also, that little hill where all the vehicles come down, there was no way in and out of that place except for that little ramp that comes down the hill. So again, it worked great because you really do feel like it's very claustrophobic and everyone is trapped in this thing.
Car with a way out.
We want it within an hour.
I want it within an hour.
Chris Faluna,
our DP.
He did a great job lighting this. I mean, this is a very large space. And I love the light in this. What I didn't want it to feel like was all the lights are on and it's kind of glossy and really, really rich. And this feels like exactly...
No, it looked almost a little subterranean, yeah. Even a little cave-like. Yeah. And
it feels like what it is. Detention on a weekend.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wasn't this one of the first things you shot from this episode?
This was a car on a green screen stage.
Right.
And those are plates of the exterior. But yeah, I think it was one of the first things we shot.
I went there. But I couldn't find him.
And Ben is Ben. So great to work with him. He had just gotten back from the Olympics. And Chariots of Fire was honored. It was like a big thing.
That's right. He's a lead singer of a jazz band in Romania.
Which
he is, remember?
No, he told me that. I'm like, I have to see this act.
Yeah.
I have to see it.
I tried to talk to him about Chariots of Fire. He's like, no, I want to tell you what I'm really into. My Romanian band.
That's awesome.
And they sounded impressive. He sang for me. He just launched into song.
That night I drank his wine with my dinner.
He had a lot of fun with this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here we go. This is the little MacGyver thing that I think how do we create a moment where you think the audience is going to think he's going to get out of it and he doesn't.
Oh, actually, you and I created this move on the phone a couple weeks before we shot when we were trying to decide. We talked what could he, not the pen part, but the pulling out with the...
Right.
Pulling the drawer out with his feet when we were in prep.
Program
5, Banshee, Pennsylvania.
Fuck!
We're here outside Banshee High School in Banshee, Pennsylvania. So far, what we have to report is that a pair of armed guns...
This lady is an actual newscaster in Charlotte.
That's right.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I love the location up in the stands. You can see kind of the building and all the stuff in the background. That little self-contained helped us schedule-wise so much.
This is a moment where a lot of the series really comes together. You know, Lucas finally, he sees his daughter in grave danger.
You're close, no? Just 15 miles.
I also remember talking to Greg about this, and, you know, the scene in Silence of the Lambs where Jodie Foster is going to the door and she's ringing the bell, and they're flying in with the chopper and the SWAT team runs out and goes up to the house.
Hey, did you see that guy a couple pictures ago?
Yeah, that's you, isn't it?
That's David Schickler in a cameo.
And then the door opens and you realize she's in a different location than where the SWAT guys are going.
That's right.
So this whole thing that's about to happen where... they go up the steps of the hotel room and Lucas is trying to get out of the handcuffs. It was a chance to create some kind of tension like that, where you think they're going to barge in on him and ultimately he's not there.
That's right.
Please, just stay back. Stay back behind the barrier for your own safety, all right?
The great Russ Blackwell, the most put upon guy in Banshee.
Come on, Carrie, pick up.
And if you pan the camera 30 degrees to the left, you would see that we're at the forge, which is not where we're supposed to be right now.
That's right.
But Greg was shooting and I had a chance to run down there and just snap the scene off.
What? Wait, what?
What the fuck are you doing? Are you fucking with her?
No.
Yes, you are. You're fucking with her. Instead of trying to get us out of here, you're acting like a fucking asshole.
Fuck you.
Why'd you have to shoot that goddamn cashier?
These kids were all great. I know none of them really speak. One or two of them have a line here or there. But it's hard to cast, you know, 8 kids that are extras and be able to use a lot of the footage where they're reacting. And I thought they did a great job.
And it's also tough when a lot of the banter that we had here between Nathan and Lance, they did so much great stuff. Even when just when they were rehearsing, you want to use all of it. You want to use every second of it. Story can only contain so much. Here comes the shot you were talking about, or the sequence you're talking about, the Silence of the Lambs sequence.
Right. We scored that bed so that Anthony could break it, and on the first one they put in there, he literally snapped it like a twig.
That's right.
So we had to put another one in. I'm like, don't score it as much. He needs to work harder at it.
Don't worry.
A fun reveal for our man, Hoon Lee.
He's got his war paint on, his mohawk, and his eye glitter.
That's right.
Come on!
Costumes and makeup, people get to have a heyday with Job. Ben did an amazing job with this little transition, just the expression on his face.
And he really went to town on this room.
Yeah, I remember we were surprised. Everybody had to step back.
Yeah. And I love this last shot into the broken mirror.
And him holding him.
Yeah, it's great.
There's almost like a little father-son relationship between those two. You and Chris got great blues out of this whole sequence. You know, the subdued, the colors, the blues, it really does look like a cave. It looks like some creepy monster or trolls.
Yeah, all the highlights are great.
It looks like a lair, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Please, they'll give you what you want. I know they will.
So will you.
Bastard!
The style of the whole show really is what I'm doing here with the camera, But I love that sense of just peeking in and being a voyeur into scenes. So when you're through these bars and when you're looking around the corner,
that's right.
It hopefully adds to the creepiness of it all because you feel like you're actually there watching this happen.
You're seeing the town of Banshee out of the corner of your eye as you drive through it almost it, yeah. And catching all sorts of creepy goings on.
We had no time to shoot this. The sun was literally plunging behind this building. This was all done in one shot. There's a cut in it, but it was all one shot.
Here's what you're saying, creating the illusion that there's 250 people or 300 people.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me.
Feva's in there?
They're doing everything they can.
Yeah.
Listen up.
Again, what a great location, right? And this big window there, we can see everything over his shoulder out of the window. I was concerned we weren't going to be able to find a place where I could actually play over someone's shoulder to see what was going on down below.
Yeah, the two of these guys, because they need to be able to see each other. They need to be able to lay eyes on each other.
Yeah, it was a lucky find.
See if you can call smart play now. All right, your car is here.
You want to move up there by the door? I'm going to need something from you. Let's get the kids out of there.
I'll send out 4 kids.
Then you move the car to the door.
All right. It's a deal.
And the maddening thing for our character Brock here is that it's all about to get taken away from him. He's doing a good job.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
You can bring him to the door.
Let's go. Come on, move.
I said 4.
Whoa.
Future horse stays right here.
She's coming with me.
Here's another physical sequence.
And any time the women get to throw down on Banshee is a good day.
We used this whole building. We literally went into the locker rooms. We went through the hallways, up the stairs into that little foyer where the doors were chained. Yeah,
it's one building, but it looks in the chase sequence that's coming up like an entire high school.
What's going on? Are you going in?
No, I just.
And this is a key moment too. I mean, she sees he's out. He's loose. How did that happen?
These men are willing to kill.
You go in there, guns blazing, you're gonna have a handful of dead children.
Who said anything about guns blazing?
You can't walk in there.
This was nice, too, a little moment where I think originally it was kind of a much bigger, kind of stunty move.
That's right, but less is more.
Yeah.
Anthony Starr is such an intense actor that he doesn't need to do too much to...
That was all Ant, too, that he was right about that.
What the fuck?
I'm unarmed.
Don't fucking move!
I swear Doug could be Steve Buscemi's brother.
That's right. You and I both said the same thing when we met him. Buscemi comes to Banshee.
Where's Lance?
That's a great compliment to Doug.
Indeed.
So here are the locker rooms, and there's actually a piece that's not in here anymore. The girls kind of duck behind these two lockers, and he hit him in the face with a football helmet, which is pretty cool.
Smashed his nose.
Ultimately, that came out. So later you see...
Right there was where the place that hit him.
Yeah, and you see Kevin with blood on his nose later on.
Here comes our SWAT guys.
Now you're not going to walk out of this. They won't let you go.
They have to. We have hostages.
So that doesn't matter anymore. That's gone. You killed a man.
I didn't kill anyone. It was fucking Lance.
One of the reasons we cast Anthony Starr is he has an almost lupine, wolf-like way. You can just see the way when he approaches characters. He's very animalistic interpretation of the part of Lucas Hood, which is exactly what we wanted.
You know, in this scene, he's certainly sensing the fact that Lance is the guy, you know, and without him, he can break this guy pretty easily.
That's right. I believe that was a slightly authentic hurt knee that we just saw. Didn't he have a little trouble with...
Everybody was a little beat up after this one.
That's right.
I don't think so.
Well,
no, not you. Well, not you.
Fuck you.
I thought the VizFX with the gunshots were great. I hadn't seen the final of VizFX till it aired. It looked terrific.
And Ant really delivers a growing conviction here of...
Yeah, right here. Boom. Yeah.
Shots fired, we're going in!
Which of us hasn't had a day in detention like this?
Yeah, and these guys are real SWAT guys. I mean, these are all...
Oh, that's right.
They're all ex-military and SWAT guys.
It's a little trickier as the creator or the director or the writer to give them advice about how they might invade the building when they're like, yeah, well... This is how it would really work.
Yeah, no, we're gonna do it, the TV version of this.
Yep.
Yeah.
You only did that once, I think. You got on the first take.
Nathan, I got him.
There's a little sequence in here that's coming up where when Kevin's character gets shot and killed and falls into the trophy case, we had a picture of he played ball there. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We kind of pushed in on the picture and you saw like blood all over the picture and there he is.
It was his high school. Yeah. It was his alma mater.
Yeah.
That came out, right?
Yeah.
Let the girl go. I'll fucking blow her head off.
And I love this moment between the two of them.
Dava and Lucas.
Where he signals to her and she picks up on it.
We talked about different ways when this could play and it's an important connection. Right there, just the slightest nod.
Drop it! Put her on the ground now!
And at first we didn't have that shot of her face. I believe you insisted on it, Dean, that we needed to see her reaction as she's coming towards him.
Absolutely.
And originally there was a lot of dialogue, there was some dialogue here, but the silent connection between Ant and Ivana is all you need.
Yeah, and the FBI agent's voice kind of starts to dip out and you're kind of in Lucas's head right here, which I like a lot.
Do what I had to do.
You just endangered the lives of 8 innocent people.
Listen, I'll give you everything you need. I promise.
And of course, this is being televised by the news.
Something very important for Anthony Starr as an actor that helps ground our series is he never just tells off the police like in a moment like that. Like he wants it to be believable. He just went through something difficult with his daughter. He wants it to be grounded and not over the top. And our man Job, for the first time, Carrie sees him. She hasn't seen him in 15 years.
And then you remember how this started. Emmett was picking out pregnancy tests in that drugstore before that foot chase and everything that started the hostage situation. And here's his wife.
Mama told me I'd find you here.
I got a cashier. He just woke up today and went to work. You know, he had no idea.
Hey, you are an excellent cop and an excellent man. And if there's something that you could have done, you would have done it. I'm pregnant.
I do miss one shot, though, here. We shot a really, really wide shot as he kind of picked her up.
If you remember, I think the actors did one sort of crazy, overly joyful take of that,
and then
they went quieter on that, and then they totally nailed it when they went quieter.
And that all 8 of the former hostages are alive and being tended by medical professionals. The gunmen were involved in a...
And then this is obviously where we see...
The other shoe drops.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
At which point the gunman took 8 hostages.
And this is where the title of the episode comes from.
That's right. Behold a Pale Rider.
Long story. Sugar?
Kai?
My co-creator, Jonathan Tropper, and I both grew up maybe a little bit more religious than we are now, but We know how to draw in the Bible for a good quote when you need it.
Well, you know, I told you this while we were down there. My father is a Presbyterian minister, so...
Oh, that's right. So this was right up here.
The triple threat. Who watched the episode and called and said, awesome episode.
Oh, good. Good, 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 yeah. Good, good.
Yeah.
This is the first I've heard about that.
I don't know how you feel about this team, but if this place, The Forge, existed, it's fun as a writer, incredibly gratifying to try to create a place. If it existed, I would drink there. I would hang there.
Absolutely. It's just sticky and smelly enough to...
to accommodate people like us.
To make me want to go through the front door.
It's almost as if you brought it all with you. And behold, the Pale Rider. And his name that sat upon him was Death and Hell.
Our costume designer, Pesha Prouty, had the great inspiration that Proctor should still wear predominantly just all blacks and whites, like an Amish person. He's still connected to that world, even though he's no longer of it. So he's in black suits.
Are you ever going to tell me that story?
This is one of my favorite lines in the episode.
What would we be without our secrets?
Indeed.
We couldn't have our series without that very sentiment.
These are always tough scenes to shoot, and...
Dean, are you kidding me? You absolutely hit this out of the park. My wife was in tears, bawling. Kudos to you, sir, for the whole sequence that's about to come.
Thanks, man. Well, these two were completely fearless, and I thought it turned out beautifully. We talked about it being like a dance, a ballet, like there are all these pushes and pulls, and she pulls him in, and then he pushes her away, and then she walks towards him, and they get over to the couch, and it was really trying to create a bit of a dance.
And really the longest sequence, I think, in our whole first season, with almost no dialogue besides the line she just said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Come on, women of America, you'd fall for him too.
This was the kind of the embarrassment of riches scene where there's so many different ways you could cut this because every take was great and we shot so many interesting, wonderful angles. There was actually some stuff that I remember we did some 6 for 6. We printed some stuff once they're on the couch that was kind of very wispy and
right.
That ended up not being in. And I think that might have been the right call.
This is the whole series to us, the war on his face. Right now, trying to decide whether he's going to kiss or kill.
In the back and the forth, she's kissing where his cuffs were on his hands. He's almost there, and then he can't.
I think that was your idea.
Yeah.
Kissing the cuff.
Yeah.
The scars.
This was a second unit day, and Chris Faluna, thank God, stayed with us and lit this, and it looks gorgeous.
This is what he's been waiting 15 years for. Which is why it's so great that he fights it. Again, you remember, Dean, when Jonathan and I first talked out this scene, it was going to be a more animalistic,
yep,
passionate coming together, possibly in the Forge itself.
I think, and then, there's the episode that comes right after this, opens with them still together. And so...
Yes, it does. Very importantly.
Also remember talking to Greg about this and wanting it to be able to go somewhere. He shot that episode before mine, even though it airs after.
That's right.
I just love that shot where their stomachs are together. That's like one of my favorite shots in the scene. And this is where we had shot some 6 for 6. And I think ultimately it was the right call not to keep that in.
To your credit and to Greg's, Greg directed, you know, a lovemaking scene in episode 4 between Carrie and her husband, Gordon. Mm-hmm. And you guys did a great job of that. She looks like a different person when she's with Lucas. She really seemed, you know, she honestly seems like two different women.
Mm-hmm. Those shots I love, just the hands and the couch, and then the end here, which is so great, she's asleep and... I love that shot.
Agreed. And then right back to Menace.
Yeah.
Made them all myself. Strawberry, pecan, and this one's called triple chocolate.
The dark one.
You're not from around here, I can tell you that much.
This location was on the corner right outside the drugstore where we did all that chase sequence work.
Yeah, none of this is a set. This is a real active diner, and people that sit in the background often, at least a couple scenes we've done are real denizens of the town. Benji.
Fun.
Absolute.
I enjoyed it, Dave.
I enjoyed it too, Dean White. Thank you absolutely for delivering a really important swing episode for our season. Tease up 8, 9, and 10, and the unbelievable trouble that Lucas and Carrie have gotten themselves into.
I can't wait to see the rest of it, man.
Okay. Thanks, Dean.
See you, buddy.
Okay. Keeps you away from the one that you